Remember what we looked at last time we met together? Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to have you with us tonight, those of you who are watching live through internet. And it's springtime, first day of spring. Amen. It's wonderful to be it's warm outside. You can go outside with your t-shirt. Praise God, eh? Go for a swim pretty soon. Romans chapter 12, you all there? It says in here, be not conformed to this world. Now, I want you to remember that the world, when that word world is not talking about the, is that word terra firma? Does that mean, that's the physical earth. And he's talking about, when he's talking about world there, he's actually referring to the system in which we live in, which is dominated by the devil. And, you know, there's influence around us that are ungodly influences. You might, you know, there's nobody killing each other on the street right now. But if there was no restraint by people and God's people, you know, a lot of things be happening that are not, you know, perfectly in harmony with God's will. But he's saying, Paul is saying here, do not be conformed to this world or the system in which the world is dominated by Satan, evil, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renewing of your mind. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, we want to know some things here, but what are we saying? God wants us to be in harmony with his will. God wants us to be in harmony with his will. And you are either going to be transformed or conformed to God, to the world, or conformed to the world, or be transformed by God's will. There's two things the Bible says there. You have a choice. You have a choice right now to either follow what everybody else is doing in this world that don't have God in their lives. It might seem like they're doing okay to lie a little bit and cheat. Well, it's not hurting everybody. And then you get caught up in cheating your income tax and say you did something where you... And then you lie a little bit here, lie a little bit there. You say, well, you know, I deserve that. And after all, I give lots of money. And then you lie and cheat. And then it's not God's way. So we have a choice, either to follow God all the way or, you know, somewhere along the line. If we don't, we get into trouble. According to a text here, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. According to our text, we will follow the will only through renewing our minds and begin to be acquainted in our thoughts. What does God think about certain things and what God wants us to do? And we need to renew our mind because it causes us to know God, to know his will. And everyone of God's people can know God's will. And everyone can follow his plan. There are many people that are wondering what God wants them to do or what God wants for them. And they're kind of wandering around, so to speak, in the wilderness. What he wants them to do for different things, what his purpose is. And so, you know, we are likened unto the children of Israel. God's word tells us that we can be like them in terms of, like, you know, they were wandering around in the wilderness, you know, and they were just really putting their heels down and not really following the way God wanted them to. And they complained and, you know, complained about different people and criticized the leaders and want to do what they want to do. But the scripture tells us, according to the 1 Corinthians chapter 10, that many of them died, or at least a whole generation died until, you know, they were wandering around in the desert, and they were not finding what God, you know, in terms of, they were not finding what they're supposed to be, you know, getting to where God wants them to be. Should have took them, I think, you know, a very short time, a matter of days to go where they were supposed to go, and took them 40 years because of the complaining and, you know, bucking and so on. And so if we're going to, if they, you know, they assumed they knew better than their leaders that God had chosen for them. And they were, you know, deciding to, they were going to do what they wanted to do. And said, give us and this and that and so on. So, like those people, many are wondering what God wants them to do or where God wants them to be. And so they imagine, people imagine the way they think it should be. And they found themselves, they're not really in the plan of God. You know, you can't determine if something, if you got a check in the mail that God's plan was to go this way or that way, or something good happened to you, because, you know, then you kind of get deceived because something opened, the door opened or something. And so that's how the devil gets people, because the scripture says that Jesus said some people are taken away off the plan of God because they're deceived by riches. In fact, God says, you know, don't let riches deceive you in following his plan. So people imagine certain things. They spend all their time trying to live carnally, or they live carnally, and they expect to hear from God and hear from God when they want to. And it takes time to hear from God. It takes some discipline to hear from God every day. You know, we got to have, you know, it's easy. I found myself at the gym the other day, and I'm watching different people, you know, wondering about where their life's at and what they think, you know, maybe what I should do in the gym. Maybe I should do a little bit more witnessing and see how strong I am. And they say, that Samson anointing come on me. I say, where'd you get that from? Well, that's come from the Bible. And, you know, sometimes you get lost. You get lost. You know, you're in the mall and you're in there and you just get lost from, you're walking around and you don't know what, you know, you get caught up in the world looking at shoes or something. And, you're not thinking about the souls and the people saved. And I went to the hospital today and we're looking for a patient, you know. So I went to that room and that patient wasn't there. It seemed like they left town. I guess they were exercising something in therapy. And so one nurse came by and said, you know, you can't go in there. You got to put some clothes on, these special clothes, yellow and blue. And you have to go and see, if you go in there, you have to be, I don't know what you call that, your isolation or something. And so that's where you guys from? And you looked at my badge. It says spiritual care. Oh, you guys are spiritual care. I said, you're right on. I said, you need some spiritual care? He said, oh, yeah, I need some. And I put my hand on her shoulder and said, you know what? Well, what is it you need? What's going on? He said, well, I've been having some problems with different things in my mouth and hasn't been healed for a number of years now. And I believe, she said, I believe in God. People laid hands on me, prayed over me and different things, and I'm still the same as I was before. Well, I didn't go into a dissertation on how to receive, five ways to receive, but at least I had a chance to talk to her. Maybe next time the Lord will allow me to minister a little bit more, so we're going to go back there. So if that guy gets out of the hospital before we just walk in there, we'll look for her. Amen. Amen. So you need to be ready to help people. Different ones, you know, they call me on the, sometimes, you know, and we talk about different things. I could spend all my time on my internet, online, with different things, and minister to people all day long. And but I can't get no work done, my own stuff. So Sometimes I have to shut it off. So people spend time living carnally, and they expect God's perfect plan to just jump out on them. But that's not going to happen. We're not going to know God's plan immediately and just like that, because we have to do some things to prepare for us to hear God speak to us, and we all should hear from God. You know, it's not, it shouldn't be like, you know, ooh, you know, he hears from God. No, it's like everybody should hear from God. In fact, it's really bad if you don't hear from God. And you need to hear from God every day, and the only way you do that is to pick up your Bible. Read the Bible in the morning. Read the Bible at night. Read it when you have to, when you can. And so we don't just imagine and try to live any way we want to and expect God to speak to us, because we'd be so calloused from sin that we can't hear. We get hard of hearts and insensitive, and we can't hear what God wants us to say to us if our mind is not renewed in His will, His word. So, well, you know, some people say God's moving, but, you know, I can't hear Him. I don't know what He's doing. Where is He moving at? I don't know. He's moving somewhere. He's not moving here. Is He moving here today? Well, yeah, he is now, you know. So let's not be lazy. Let's start being diligent, studying the Word of God so that we can follow His Spirit. Follow the plan of God. So God is not hiding His will from us. He's trying to get His will to us through His Word and by His Spirit. We get acquainted with the Word of God and follow the Word of God, you know. And when we study the Word of God, we get that Word in us. It renews our mind. When we're making decisions, we say, hey, you know, that's not God. I'm, you know, is this decision line up with the will? Because if you know the Word, then you can really find out the will. And if you get something leading on the inside, then you know, hey, that's God's will. This is God speaking to me right now. And what some people are looking for is some kind of a big manifestation. Like when Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan, they expecting the cloud to open and hear a voice and a dove maybe or two. Maybe at least a seagull or something. Drop in on them, you know. So God's not hiding His will from us. He's trying to reveal His will to us through His Word and by His Holy Spirit. We can know His will right now. Ministers and churches need to teach people that it's possible to know God and His will and to know His plan for our lives. Because Psalm 139 said God has, He created us. He knew exactly, you know, how we were developed when we were way back in there. And in fact, Psalm 139 says that, you know, he wrote a book, and you're in it. And if you don't accept Jesus for a certain time, then your name gets taken out because you rejected Jesus. So your name is already in there, and God wrote your life in there. And we see from other scriptures that over in Ephesians 10, you know, it's real clear in the Amplified version of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It says in there that God had a good plan made out for us, and there's not one tragedy in it. There's no sickness in it. There's no days off where you're so sick you can't, with the flu, you can't get to work. There's no early death. You know, there's nothing but good in there. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? Some say, oh, that's wonderful. I wish I could have that. Well, you can have it. Amen? So, you know, you tell people, you know, God wants you to prosper. Really? Is that true? Is that in the Bible? Prosperity? You prosperity teachers anyway? You know? We don't want to know about that. We like some poverty. I like having holes in my shoes, not having enough money. Well, I like prosperity. How about you? I like to have enough. I like to have more than enough. God says He's more than enough God. So I didn't want to just have one shirt in my closet. I want several of them. Some people just like one pair of shoes. I like lost shoes, different kinds of shoes, short ones, long ones, different colors, winter ones, spring ones. Praise God. So it's God's will that I have different kinds of shoes. In the Old Testament, they had one pair of shoes for 40 years. I wouldn't like that. Amen? I said, Jesus, look at my shoes. It's the same shoes I had when I came here 40 years ago. Would you please change the color at least on these things? Some people like to change their hairstyle even, their colors, different colors. Paul, you know, so we as churches and ministers and people of the God who teach the Word of God, we need to teach on it that it's possible to hear God's will. So because the Word of God says, renewing the mind causes us to find the will of God, the perfect will of God. We want to be there in the perfect will of God. We don't want to just kind of like, you know, just say, what is that? Come see, come saw. What does that mean? Go come skin saw with a cross cut saw. I don't know what it is. What is that? Like this, like that? That's what it is? You know, whatever it is, you know, que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. Whatever happens tomorrow, you know, well, if that's the way it's going to be. No, we can decide some things. We can make some decisions. And so we know the plan of God, and we need to find out what his will says. In fact, let's go over here to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16 and 18, to 18, the Amplified Version. Paul here is praying for the church at Ephesus so that they'll know the will of God. God wants you to know that the opposition that's against you are defeated. God wants you to know that you've been raised with Jesus. When Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father, he wants you to know that you're there with him. You know, he wants you to know what he wants for your life, what his plan is. I mean, years ago, I met my wife for coffee. And we talked, we had coffee, we're trying to negotiate if we're going to spend some time together. Well, we didn't know that was happening that then, but we sat down, had coffee, and I was a smart alecky guy because I started flashing my spiritual muscles. And saying, you know, I asked her if she knew what God wants her to do. She said, well, I'm not really sure. I said, well, I know. Well, that was my biggest mistake. That's the last thing I heard. No, we had a great time. You know, so we talked about last night, you know, there's some things that you can't always tell everybody. I mean, you know, before the time. And you can't always say everything, you know, because you might even abort the plan of God, because things can happen. Like Joseph, the man of many colors, the coat of many colors, he began to tell his brothers, you know, I'm gonna be this big leader, and you're all going to bow to me, even dad and mom, or, you know, my parents are going to bow to me. But those guys got mad at him. They said, let's just get rid of this guy. And so, you know, his brothers came after him. So, you know, we need to take it easy. And don't say everything you need to say. Just say what you need to say. Not everybody's going to accept what you know all the time. Brother Hagin used to tell us there's things that I want to teach, but I can't always teach everything. Because everybody's not there. So there's a way, you know. So, but we need to know the will of God. God for sure wants us to know his will. Anybody against that here? Hope not. Okay, I cease not to give thanks to you or for you, Paul says to the church there. Because he's the one that started those people. In Acts 16, he met those people, got them saved, got them filled with the Holy Spirit, and they start to grow. He said, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. For I always pray to God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation of insight into the mysteries and secrets. God wants you to know some hidden things, hidden truths that are not obvious to everybody else. In 1 Corinthians, we spent one time, I think one Wednesday ago, we talked about in there, that when you pray in the Spirit, that is when you pray in tongues, because the Bible interprets what is praying in the Spirit means. We say praying in the Spirit. What do you mean praying in the Spirit? Do I have to like kind of zone out? Flip my eyes back and just, No, you can just go into the Spirit right now by speaking in tongues. And when you spend time there long enough, then you get something on the inside of you, you'll get interpretation or get some kind of impression that God wants you to do certain things. But if you don't do that, then you're not going to get where you're supposed to get. So revelation will come inside. He says over here, let's look at it again. He said that you pray to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation of insight into the mysteries and secrets in the deep and intimate knowledge of him. One version says that he wants you to understand of who you are in him. God wants you to know who you are in him. Who are you anyway? Well, I'm in him. I'm a child of God, and I have certain, privileges that I can just sit with him and have authority over devils and situations. You know, if there's situations against you right now that are adverse situations against you, don't just go ahead and take that. Stand against it. It's only when you stand against it that God has authority to come against it. He's not going to come against it automatically. He wants you to do it. That's how God set it up. Unless you do it, remember Jesus said, whatsoever you shall bind on earth, in Matthew chapter 18, whatsoever you shall bind on earth. In other words, your responsibility is to do the binding. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. That's the heavens above us where demon activity is involved, Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you shall loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Or whatever you permit or don't permit. Because sometimes people are permitting certain things in their lives that God didn't intend for them to have. And if we renewed our mind and understand those things, it's not strange for us to begin to come against it. In Romans chapter 8, it talks about in there that, it talks about the plan of God. And let's just go over there for a second. We spent some time talking about it. I think we need to speak on it a little bit more. Romans chapter 8. I want to go back. I want to go here. Romans chapter 8. Thank God for the word. Amen? His word will enlighten you. Romans chapter 8. Let's go to verse 26. We read that last time we were together. And it will give us some more, let's go investigate a little bit more. Romans chapter 8. He says in verse 26, likewise the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself or himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Bible says that when we begin to pray, this prayer of intercession by the Holy Spirit, when we begin to get into the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit gets a hold of your spirit, when you allow that to happen, then God will pray his will through your spirit. Amen? Because we don't always know, we don't know everything, not everything's revealed. A lot of times you just get a little inclination on the inside of you, we know in part the scripture says it. So over there, let's go to, just stay here for a second, go to Romans or 1 Corinthians 14. Let's go to verse 2 here for a second, and then we go to verse 14 and 15. Can you go there? Are you there? Okay, so it says, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, well, unknown is, I believe, is italicized. The translators added that in there, so that's not in the original language. So you can say this, he that speaketh in a tongue. What happens? Speaketh not unto men. In other words, you don't talk to everybody in tongues, but unto God. So when you're speaking in tongues, you're talking to God. You're communicating with God. You like to talk to God, you get a hold of God, then speak in tongues. You see, you have to believe that. You can't just say, well, you know, let's try it out. Let's see if he shows up or not. Let's see if he moves over here somewhere. No, when you speak in tongues, you're talking to God. That's what the Bible says. And then he says, for no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit. Notice that in the Spirit. Everybody say in the Spirit. Now, the Bible interprets itself. Particularly in this verse of Scripture, in the Spirit means tongues. In other words, when you pray in tongues, you're in the Spirit. The best way to get a hold of God and to follow His plan is to start speaking in tongues in the Spirit. I'll wake up in the middle of the night if it's 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. I'll even try to speak in tongues. You just almost feel like you don't have any strength to pray. But I'll start to pray in the Spirit. And my spirit is contacting God. I just start praying in the Spirit. And I'll pray that way as long as I can. And I'll fall asleep. I get up again and I'll pray that way again. So why are you doing that? Well, I want to, you know, if God's going to talk to me. Because I believe, you know, I find scriptures that God says he talks to people in the nighttime. Because sometimes that's the only time you're quiet. You're not on your phone. You're not doing anything else, but you're trying to find the mind of God, what he wants you to do. And sometimes it's so clear, when you get up in the morning, you forgot all about it. And you have to write these things down. So the Bible here interprets itself. It says, he that speaketh in a tongue, speak not unto men, but unto God, for no man understands them. Howbeit, however, he in the Spirit, that's where when he's speaking in tongues, in the Spirit. That's why you say, let's all pray in the Spirit. That means praying in tongues. He says, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. So what is those mysteries? Mysteries are hidden truths that God is getting over to your spirit so that you can pray out his plan and purposes as you pray in the Spirit, trusting God to bring out the will of God on your life and for different things that you're praying about, because you don't know everything. You know, let's come back to the scripture. Everybody say mysteries. So when you're praying in tongues, you're praying mysteries. What is mysteries? Mysteries are you're going to look at it at the moment. Mysteries is God's will that other people don't know about, that the devils don't know about it. In fact, if you go to 1 Corinthians 2, it's going to talk about the same thing. It's that nobody knows what God has planned for us. It only can come by the Holy Spirit will tell you in verse 12. The Holy Spirit will transfer that over to your spirit so that, you know, that's how we can know the will of God. The more time you spend time praying in the Spirit, getting acquainted with God and just spending time with God that way, and then you get to know certain things. In fact, he'll talk to you about things that you need to straighten out in your life. You can't have a good spiritual life unless you pray. You can't live holy and right, walk right with God if you don't pray right. If you don't pray like this, you'll just be carnal and just do whatever your mind says to do. So here, if we go to first of all, you know, we were in 1 Corinthians chapter 14:2. Let's go to that verse we looked at in verse 14 and verse 15 of the 14th chapter. Let's go and get it in the Amplified. So actually, you could speak in tongues. You can talk to God, and you could pray in tongues. So if I pray in a tongue, let's keep the unknown out. Let's pray. If I pray in a tongue, my spirit, that's your inward man, the part that was born again. My spirit, by the Holy Spirit within me, prays. In other words, your mind has nothing to do with it. In fact, people have done research studies where you hook up people together and they want to find out what happens to the brain when people pray in tongues. It is discovered when people do that, a certain part of the brain doesn't actually function because that's bypassed by your spirit. You're praying out of your spirit, not you're praying out of your mind. Science has proven this. And so if you're praying in tongues, your mind is unproductive. It has nothing to do with it. You don't know. That's why if you're praying in tongues, that's why people, you know, they think they're so smart. You know, I gotta find out what vowels I gotta talk. I gotta, you know, what kind of sound I have to make. You could be going like this, and you'd be speaking in tongues. Well, so that looks silly. I'm not talking about silliness. I'm talking about praying in the Spirit. And once you begin to understand and get control of yourself, you'll start talking in tongues clearly. You'll start praying properly. Like when a baby is born, like, you know, who has a baby in here? You have a baby. What's your baby's name again? Elia. Elia doesn't walk down here and start talking to everybody. Hey, guys, what's happening? She'll talk like a baby. She'll mumble and different things. It's the same with you. When you're praying in tongues, you might not have your language the way it should be in the beginning. And then you begin to develop. And you grow up. And all of a sudden you get to the place afterwards that you're praying enough in tongues, then you start to interpret your tongues. That doesn't happen overnight. You know, so we're talking about, you know, renewing the mind. So we have to renew our mind with this and understand that if I'm going to get in the will of God, I have to renew my mind about this stuff if I'm going to find the will of God for my life. Well, you say, well, you know, I never heard of this before. Well, thank God you're getting some revelation. You're getting the knowledge of God's will in this here teaching here. It bears no fruit. It doesn't help anybody. So that's, we're talking about praying by yourself. Now, you're not going to go to Tim Hortons and say, everybody, let's all pray in tongues here. They'll call the police on you and get you out of there pretty quick. You know, I don't go home at night and talk to my wife. We start praying in tongues together, talk together in tongues. You know, we you know, unless, you know, somebody interprets for us. I'll call Pastor again. Pastor again, come on over here and interpret what my wife's saying. No, she can tell me what she wants herself. So verse 15 says, what am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, by the Holy Spirit that is within me, but I also pray with intelligence with my mind and understanding. You can only pray with your mind correctly, you know, in line with the will of God, the word of God. You need to pray the will of God. When you pray, pray the will of God. Pray scripturally. Pray using the Bible about certain things. Don't just say, talk to God, you know, hey, God, let me tell you something. I mean, yeah, you can do that and talk to this fellowship with the Lord, but if you're going to pray about something, you better get a hold of the Word of God. We have to renew our mind. Go back to Romans. We got 37 seconds left. Romans chapter 8. We're talking about renewing the mind, and we have to renew our mind with certain aspects of it because some people are not practicing enough praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Now, for some reason, let me just go here for a second. Sometimes I write notes in my Bible that I don't have one on here. You got Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, also helpeth our infirmities. Now, that word helpeth, if you see over here, it says, likewise, the Spirit helpeth. That word, if you look in the Greek language, you'll find out that word helpeth is a long Greek word. It means this. That word helpeth means this. If you look, you can check it out. Go to Bible translations, you'll find this. That word helpeth, our infirmities. That word helpeth means to stand against. You know, whatever you stand against. Helpeth means, you know, the Holy Spirit comes and helps you. And so it talks about it here. Whatever you take a hold of, it has three words in it. Take a hold, together, with, and against. Take a hold of, together, with, and against. In other words, the Holy Spirit takes a hold of whatever you take a hold of when you pray for certain things. He doesn't do that himself. He, whatever you pray for, if we're going to get the kind of supernatural answers, we're going to have to trust that this is what it's talking about. And some people are praying desperately over and over, and they're praying out of their minds about, you know, you're praying for someone who's sick. Oh, Lord, heal that person. Oh, Lord, heal that person. Heal that person. Over and over and over. That's unbelief. And it's going nowhere. How many times do you have to ask God, or how many people do you have to ask to heal God, to heal somebody? People always say, let's all pray. Let's everybody pray. Let's go ahead and send out an SOS here on my Facebook and get everybody to pray. God's going to change something right there. No, he don't need all everybody to pray. All he needs is one person to change that situation. Maybe you and that person who's sick is the only one that has to pray. In fact, don't just send everybody in the sick room, because all they're going to do is just sit there and just actually become a burden. Just go there. I remember Mark Hankins, when his wife was diagnosed with a brain tumor, they said, you got a brain tumor this big, and, basically you're going to die. So he said he went to the hospital there, and they were there. He said he didn't let anybody in that room unless there were people who were designated and known to have faith and believe God. And she was. It happened after her Sunday service one day. She fell over and she was sick with this and went to the hospital. They said, you got this big brain tumor, and you're going to die. We can't get a hold of that. He said he just prayed in the Holy Ghost and prayed in tongues over that situation and just began to, just go ahead and lift that up. And the Holy Ghost praying against this thing, taking a hold of against that thing, but the Spirit of God coming against it, but praying in tongues. Now, you have to believe that's what's happening. When you're praying in tongues, you say, there's situations in my life where it's life and death. I come against it in the name of Jesus. I say, I'm coming against the spirit of death in Jesus' name. I pray against the sickness. I pray against this whatever's going on, this attack on my family. I'm going to come against it in Jesus' name. I'm standing against it. Devil, I'm talking to you. I want you to understand that I know my authority. I want you to know that the devil, you're a loser in the name of Jesus. God made me a winner. I'm not taking this. I'm talking to you. And you've got to be able to talk to the devil that way if you're going to get results. And that doesn't happen unless you renew your mind. Unless you renew your mind in the Word. Understand, that's what you're doing. Now, you're not going to do that if you don't renew your mind. You say, God, please heal that person. God, please. No, God wants you to take authority. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. You pray in the Spirit. You pray in tongues. He said, let the Holy Spirit pray in tongues. You're the one that's here on earth. You're the one that has authority over here. And God only has authority in your life if you love. God has no authority here. Nor does he have authority in your life. He's not going to just come and heal you and do whatever he wants to do unless you purposely ask God and through Scripture and helping of the Spirit of God and begin to come against those things and pray and believe God for it. And stand. Sometimes you have to stand for a while. And then there's things where God heals people. I've heard people that had different terrible illnesses, their life and death matter, and God just took away that situation by his gifts. That person there didn't have anything to do with it per se. They accept prayer. One of the things I discovered, if someone is a Christian that doesn't have, doesn't understand this process, or if an unbeliever who doesn't have the knowledge of God's word, you need to get their permission. Say, can I pray for you? All I want your permission is I can pray for you. I know how to get hold of this. I know how to pray. They said, yeah, I'll do it. You got an open door to pray for them. So we pray. So we have to renew our mind when it comes to praying, because we just pray to God, just ask God a couple of things, and maybe two, three minutes, and that's it. You know, we don't pray the rest of the day, don't talk to God about it. We don't even say anything to God. Until we go to bed at night, Lord God, good night. See you tomorrow morning. Help me in my sleep. Help I don't have any bad dreams, and I pray I don't wet my bed tonight. Again. I don't sleepwalk or anything else. Let's go ahead and stand up. Praise the Lord. We're talking about being transformed by the renewing, removing of the old junk in there. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. God's good. His mercy endures forever. Hip, hip, hooray. He's on my side. Glory to God. Let's give three cheers to Jesus right now. One, two, three. Hip, hip, hooray. No, he's not a man. He's awesome. He's a good God. He's an awesome God. He lives inside of you and inside of me. Holy Ghost is inside of us. You know? Hallelujah. Do you love God? You say, well, you know, I love him sometimes. I don't always love him, but... Well, it's not about feelings. The Bible says we do it. We shout when we don't want to. We shout and praise God when we don't feel like it. We lift up hands if we don't feel like it. You say, what if I don't feel anything? It doesn't matter how you feel. We lift holy hands because the Bible says let everybody lift holy hands without wrath and doubting. And we open up our mouth. We say, thank you, Lord. We praise you. I want to thank you this supernatural ability to get a hold of you and to pray heaven down. And to bring forth our cares and worries and put them on you, Lord. We will not carry any burden, any kind of a situation, because you don't want us to carry any. There's no loads that I should carry. I shouldn't carry one load. So I'm casting all my care, spiritually, physically, on you. About my family, about my finances, about my physical body. I got cares about my body right now, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord God, that 1 Peter 2:24 is working in my body. I want to thank you, Lord God, that you said that you supply all my needs. And I want to thank you. I'm going to claim what I need. All my bills are paid. I want to thank you, Lord God, that money is coming in for the ministry here at Faith City Church. I want to thank you that money is coming in for the television ministry, Spirit of Life Television, that partners are going to give. And we thank you, Lord. We have new partners in Jesus' name. I want to thank you, Lord God. This is going to be a great summer, great spring. I'm one of the greatest times of my life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God, that I'm free. The devil has no authority over my life. I give you praise, Lord God, that I'm above and not beneath. I'm going over and not going under. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I praise you, Jesus. I want to thank you, Lord God. Glory to God, for my brother, my sister, my family, my friend. I pray for them. I pray in the name of Jesus.